So we may turn now to the chapter which we read in the Word of God from John chapter 21. The Gospel according to John chapter 21. Reading at verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, we believe this chapter of the Word of God is a portion of Scripture that is especially precious to ministers of the gospel, and is that which is, we believe, very much an encouragement to them. For we read here of the care of the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples. We see from the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ that he did not appear to his enemies, but to his friends. And he made particular and took particular care, as we see from this chapter of the Word of God, to appear to those who were his own beloved disciples. Jesus himself well knew that they had a great work to do. Jesus himself, through his own sufferings at the hands of the Jews, knew very well how very difficult that work would be. And the Savior took special care to comfort and encourage his own disciples. Well, we believe that that is still the case in this our day. The ministers of the gospel are sent forth with a message that is not readily received by the sons of men. It is a message that is a good and a gracious message. And it is very sad, of course, for these ministers of the gospel when that message is not received, and received at once. Our desire is, of course, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, we see here the Savior dealing with Peter. And there are such precious things in the life of Peter. We considered early in the communion season of him walking on the water to go to Jesus. His strength of faith, and yet the sad risings up of unbelief causing him to sink. And the prayer of faith going forth, Lord, save me. And the Savior immediately stretching forth the hand and bringing his poor and needy disciple into the safety of the vessel, and to the safety at once with his fellows off the shore. Well, we see here how that Jesus deals very graciously with his disciples. Here is Peter. What is he to do? He's looking for direction. Well, he thinks, well, at least I know fishing. Maybe I'll go back to that. Maybe after all that I've done in denying Christ and being such a foolish creature and such a failure, maybe I'll just go back to what I know. I know how to fish. But you see, when he tries to do that, he's very unsuccessful. He's very unsuccessful. We think that would be true of any truly called minister of the gospel. If he was to try to give up his calling, he would be very unsuccessful, we would think. Here is Peter. He goes about it in his own strength. Nothing is doing. But then Jesus is on the shore. Cast in the net, and ye shall find. The right side of the ship. They cast in. They were not able to draw it for the multitude. Ah, and you see what this was. Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, said, It is the Lord. And Peter heard that. Well, then, as he is wont, he is keen to get to Jesus. He is keen to be with Christ. Well, here is this great multitude of fishes brought in. And what is Jesus teaching Peter? Surely he's teaching him and reminding him of what he is really to be about, that which he was first called to, as with John and James, what Jesus said there, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, friends, we're to keep that in mind. What is Jesus saying when he says in our text, follow me? Well, what is Peter going to think of? He's not just going to limit it to this. He is to walk along the shore with Jesus. Surely he is reminded of this. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But before we come to the text more particularly, we do want to just mention the restoration of Simon Peter there in verses 15 through to 18. And how interesting a lesson we have there. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. That was what he was warned against. But that, alas, is what he fell into. And he repented of that fearful sin. It was a terrible sin. And the bitter tears that Peter had indicate something of the agony of his soul in respect to that thing. Now we see what Jesus did. You see, that was a public sin. And that required public repentance and restoration. And so what we find is Jesus saying to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That was the fault. Although all men forsake thee, yet will not I. Lovest thou me more than these? Jesus begins with that. And he doesn't call him Peter. He doesn't call him the new name. He calls him Simon, the son of Jonas. That's reminding him of his past, his life as a fisherman, his life as the son of Jonas, not Peter the apostle. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I have affection for thee. Do you love me, as Jesus says in a high sense, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. The second time, again, it's not Peter, Simon. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He's being restored. He's being restored to the work of the ministry. He's being restored to the work that he was given to do. Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, three denials and three challenges. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Why was he so grieved? Because Jesus was now saying, do you even have affection for me? Do you even have affection for me, Peter? Do you even have affection for me, Simon? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. An acknowledgement of the divinity of Christ. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You're restored. You're restored in this public way. You're restored. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You see, here is the difficulty. Here is the challenge. Here is the trial that is before him. And yet, this is what he must do in connection with his duty and calling to the apostleship and to being a disciple of Jesus. Well, we come now to this text, follow me, Jesus says to him, and that very much sums up the life of the believer, whether it be a minister of the gospel or whether it be one who is one of the Lord's people, male or female. Jesus says to his people here today, follow me. That is it. Count the cost, yes, but follow me. That is the word that comes to the disciple. Follow thou me. And we see here this frailty that Peter had. We had an indication of it on the sermon that we had on Peter walking on the water. He was one who was prone, as we all are. We don't think Peter's alone in this. If we search ourselves, Peter was prone to distraction, being distracted, forgetting his duty, forgetting his high calling, forgetting what Jesus would have him to do, follow me. And Peter turns about just at once and sees the disciple following whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He's being distracted. Christ has said to him in particular and individually, follow me. And Peter sees his friend and he says, what shall this man do? And he is being distracted. And Jesus says to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What a challenge. It's a challenge that comes to all of us. We are prone in this day, and in every day, of course, there's no real difference, but this day is a very fast-paced lifestyle. We are prone to be distracted. And we require, we believe, to be reminded then here today of this case of Peter. Well, our subject is that of the danger of distraction from following Jesus. The danger of distraction from following Jesus. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And the Lord helping us, we wish to note 3 points. Firstly, Peter's duty. Follow me. Jesus gave him his duty. The Master told him what to do, and that was what he must be about. Secondly, Peter's concern. What shall this man do? He is distracted. He is looking upon another. He is not giving heed to what he is to do. And Peter's caution in the third place. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter's duty, Peter's concern, and Peter's caution from Christ. Follow me is the words that were told Peter. It's a very simple duty that was set before him in one sense, and yet when we see the context, it was a very challenging thing. Jesus had said, let us remind ourselves, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And Peter might well say, who is sufficient for these things? What a duty, what a high, high calling this was, to feed the sheep of Christ. To feed those that Jesus loved with an everlasting love, to feed them because they stand in need of feeding. And Peter might well fear, well, if I don't feed the sheep, the great shepherd may be displeased with me. Oh, who is sufficient for these things? Follow me, Jesus says. And that is, of course, how Peter would feed the sheep. That is how every minister of the gospel will feed the sheep. It is when he follows Christ. It is when he follows the example of Jesus, who preached the gospel himself, saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. There's the free call of the gospel from the lips of Christ. We are to follow the Master in that. We know, of course, from the ministry of Jesus how very tender he was with his disciples. There he says to Mary, she comes to the tomb, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, you see, Mary was not, of course, to be a preacher of the gospel, but she was to tell such truths to men like Peter, and they, as the chosen disciples of Jesus, were to tell such doctrines and truths to others, because it was from Christ. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So the ministry is set for the comfort of the people of God. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Our friends, we must, of course, not forget the lambs. And the ministers are to feed the lambs as well as the sheep. But we see also that Jesus, as well as indicating the very high duty that he set Peter, and who was sufficient for that, and he dare not be distracted when he has been given such a task to do, to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, he says again. But we also read that Jesus showed Peter the suffering that would be involved, the suffering and the trial that he must endure. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. And so here is a trial, a difficulty. Peter is to endure much opposition and trial in the work of the ministry. And at length and at last we understand, of course, from these words, he is to suffer martyrdom for the sake of the gospel. Well, this is a great trial. Who is sufficient for these things? And Jesus says, this spake he, this is John's understanding of what was spoken. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And notice how the Holy Spirit makes note of that. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. This is how you will get grace and strength to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep. This is how you will get grace and strength to suffer for my name's sake. Follow me. And of course, Peter would think, we would take it, given where he is, here he is at Galilee, where he was first called, would he not remember what happened not so very long before, a few years back, when Jesus came to that place and said to him and to John and to James, the sons of Zebedee, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he says to Peter, follow me. I'm restoring you, and you are to go forth with boldness and courage in the work that I have given you to do. Christ had done all these things for Peter. Christ had called him at the first, and Christ had restored him, and Christ had given him grace to repent, and Christ had given him these words of restoration, follow me. Well, this is Peter's duty, and this is the duty, of course, of every minister of the gospel. And we would say the success or otherwise of the ministry is much bound up in this, whether we follow Christ or not. In our preaching, in our pastoring, in church government, inasmuch as we follow Christ, we will have good success. And inasmuch as we follow our own flesh and folly, we will have much misery and disappointment. Follow me, says Jesus. Follow me. Follow my gracious example. Follow my gracious conduct. Follow me. There was a minister who once came to a visiting pulpit, and he noticed a little plaque there that only the minister could see when preaching to the people. And the little plaque on that pulpit said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Follow me. Well, this was Peter's duty. And he, of course, was a disciple. He was an apostle. But it is the duty of every disciple. It is the duty of every disciple of Jesus who sat at the Lord's table on the Lord's day. It is the duty of every person who has believed on Christ to the saving of his or her soul. It is the calling, perhaps not to the calling of the ministry, but certainly to the calling of discipleship. Follow me, says Jesus. As one writer, T.V. Moore, in his book, The Last Days of Jesus, a very precious little book, recounting and dealing with the post-resurrection appearances of Christ during the 40 days, notes, the Christian life is summed up in following Christ. We begin it by coming to him. We continue it by following him. We end it by going to him. And the answers to many of the perplexities that beset its entrance and ongoing is simply follow Jesus. Follow me, says Christ. He says that to his people. And we are not to think, and those who sat at the Lord's table are not to think for a moment, that the Savior does not know the challenges and the difficulties involved in the Christian life. We are not to think, even more particularly, that the Savior, the exalted Christ, does not know, my dear friend, your own personal case, your own particular circumstances. He knows the way that I take, says Job. He knows the way that I take. The Lord knows our work fellows. The Lord knows those in our families. The Lord knows the challenges of parents with children and bringing them up in this desperate age. The Lord knows our own particular sins and weaknesses and frailties and follies. The Lord knows who we are and what we are. Follow me, said Jesus. We're to think, friends, that Jesus didn't know Peter. He knew Peter. He's just given a very studious example of how well he knew Peter. Three times he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I even said, three times you will deny me. You didn't believe me. And then you proved that it was so. By grace you have repented, and through that look that I gave you, the Lord blessing it, you've been brought back in repentance. And Peter himself acknowledged, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all things. And that is what the disciple here can say. Jesus says, follow me. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the day in which I live, the land in which I live, the people with whom I work. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the strength of the tempting devil. Thou knowest the frailty of my flesh. Thou knowest all things. And yet, Jesus, who knew Peter better than Peter knew himself, said to him, follow me. Was the Savior thinking that Peter could somehow do this in his own strength, in his own ability? Had Peter not just had a very salutary lesson as to how weak his own strength was? And had he not also had a very salutary lesson with regard to the strength of Christ and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Follow me, says Jesus. And, what a duty. How important it was that Peter would be about this with absolute diligence, given his own frailty in the past. How important, friends, on the Monday of a communion season, as the Lord's people come up from this feast of blessing in the house of God into a dark and sinful world, how important it is for them to heed the words of Christ, follow me. Well, secondly, we come to this matter of his concern, Peter's concern for his friend. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now, we take it, of course, that this disciple whom Jesus loved is none other than the person who is writing, even John. We read later on in the same chapter, then went the saying abroad, verse 23, among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not say unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Here is John, and he speaks of himself. Very interesting to observe. Here he is penning this book of the Bible, as he is inspired of the Holy Spirit of God, we are not in any way to fault his procedure, but we are to see in it how John is taking prudent steps, as it were, to ensure that this book that he is writing, this gospel that he is penning, will be about Christ. It will be Jesus who is preeminent. He will not be saying, putting his own name in where he feels it is not needful. But there are lessons, of course, in the manner in which he chooses to express himself. He speaks of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, you see, he doesn't say of himself what some people say, that he is the disciple who loved Jesus. We might hear much of that, and we hope there is some sincerity in some. I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. There is nobody that loves Jesus so much as me. Well, that would be getting into very presumptuous territory. But what is this? The disciple whom Jesus loved. He does not say, he did love Jesus. Perhaps there were but few who loved Jesus as much as John. But even he, even that man, even this man, is rather reticent about saying, I am the disciple who loved Jesus. But I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. He is amazed. He's wondering. Perhaps he is amazed that Jesus should love me at all. That Jesus should set his eye upon me at all. That Jesus should call me into the ministry. This is just love indeed. This is amazing. The disciple whom Jesus loved. There is also a point here that could be useful for self-examination. As you think upon your own life, are you the disciple whom Jesus loves? As you come away from a communion season, having been to the Lord's table, are you the disciple whom Jesus loves? Does Christ see in you that which is pleasing to him? Does he see the fruit of repentance? Does he see the fruit of new obedience? Does he see the fruit of strong love to himself and his people? Does he see in your life that which he loves, or that which he hates even, or displeased with? Are you the disciple whom Jesus loves? You see, the true disciple would desire, at least, that I would be. Oh, that I would be pleasing to my master. Oh, that I would be the disciple who Jesus loves in that respect. Well, here is John. And, of course, we know that Peter and John went to, they were those who had great affection to one another. They were called together into the gospel ministry. They were those who knew each other even before they came to that work. And so Peter says, what shall this man do? What is it that brings forth this query? Perhaps it is Peter is repining at suffering. Perhaps he is recognizing that Jesus has signified the death that he should die. Perhaps he has some fears that it may be that horrible death of crucifixion. Maybe he is afraid of suffering. And then he is saying, well, what of this man? What shall this man do? Will he also have suffering as well as me? Is he repining somewhat? Is he wondering, well, will that be the case of my friend? I am to have these trials and difficulties. Will he also have these trials and difficulties? Or is this only for me? Am I to suffer these things alone? Or is my friend, is he also going to have trials himself? I should like to know that. Well, you see, there was his concern. Perhaps that concern also was, is John also to go to the ministry? Is he also to continue in his discipleship as one of the 12? Is he to feed thy sheep? And if so, what success will he have? How will he go? I should like to know. After all, we were called together. We have that special bond that we were brought in together. Jesus said to Peter and to the two sons of Zebedee afterwards, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And then we read Jesus, calling Peter and Andrew his brother, chapter 4 in Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And so they were those who knew each other, and that was a special bond in connection with this calling. Of course, they had been through so much together. They had seen the miracles of Jesus. They had witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. We think that John would have been present there in the house of Peter when Peter's wife's mother was laid sick of a fever, and Jesus raised her to health and strength again. And so many other things, indeed special occasions. They were invited particularly, the raising of the daughter of Jairus, the Mount of Transfiguration. What a tremendous occasion that was, when the Savior took Peter and James and John, his brother, and went into a mountain apart, and there he was transfigured before them. They had a special privilege there, transfigured before them. Chapter 17 in Matthew, verse 2. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us. It is good for me. It is good for my friend James. It is good for my dear, dear friend John. It is good for us to be here, he says. It's not just good for me. He is conscious of John. He is conscious of James. It is good for us to be here with thee. And so we might be saying, well, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here at the Lord's table. But I'm wondering what will become of my friend. I'm wondering if he will have suffering. I'm wondering if she will have good success in her Christian life. I'm wondering what will become of her or him. Follow me. Follow me, says Jesus. Think about your own responsibility. Think about your own position. Well, they saw that light. They heard that voice, a wonderful voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Bright cloud, voice, the disciples heard it, Peter, James, John, fell on their face, they were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That is where their eyes were fixed. That itself was very telling. Follow me, says Jesus here. Follow me, the one upon whose frame your eyes were fixed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Follow me, he says to Peter. And Peter is saying, what about this man? What will become of him? Will he go to the ministry? Will he have any success in it? Well, what could Jesus have said? He could have told Peter, well, John, he will pen one of the four Gospels. He will begin with these tremendous words, Peter. You know, he will have the privilege and the position as a gospel writer. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He will write that gospel, and that is how it begins and how it ends, How remarkable, he will pen at the end. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written everyone, I suppose that even the whole world itself could not contain the books that should be written. He will have that privilege of penning a gospel that speaks and shows forth especially my divinity, the glory of my person. And that's not all. As if that were not enough, John will be privileged on the Isle of Patmos to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he will pen the revelation. He will receive visions from God of great things. He will receive visions of heaven itself and the redeemed and the Lamb and the bow and everything, the mystery of it all. You see, is that what Peter wants to know? Is that what he wants to know in his calling? What about this man? What will he do? What will he do? And what will I do? Maybe I won't do as much as he will do. Maybe I'll do more than he will do. Would that have been good for Peter to know? Would it have been good for Peter to know John won't write an epistle? Indeed, two epistles, but Peter, you will write two epistles that will be much blessed to the people of God. But John won't have that. Would that have been good for Peter to know that? You see, that's how it is in the ministry too. We should be glad to be of the least help to any of the people of God. These men had work to do, and Jesus knew what work to send them to, and where to send them to, and what work they would do. And they would do great work. And of course, we believe the least work in the preaching of the gospel, it's not a small work. If we are truly called to it, it is great work. It is great work. Whether we have great success in our own idea of things or not, what matters is, follow me, says Jesus. Follow thou me. And this man, what will he do? Well, that's not for you, Peter. That's for me. He's my disciple. He's not your disciple. He's your friend. But I've got work for him to do. I'm not going to review all the work. It's going to be wonderful work. It's going to be important work. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell him what work I'm going to have him to do. He doesn't even know. He's to go forward in faith too. Follow me. Well, perhaps Peter is feeling lonely. Jesus has said, feed my sheep, he said. That's a great responsibility Peter feels. He said, you will be carried forth. There was one day when you were very vigorous. You're still pretty vigorous. You've just come over the side of the ship and swam ashore. You've done all that, but there's going to be a day coming when you'll be led out to death. That suffering that's involved, terrible suffering. And Peter thinks, well, I don't really much like the idea of being alone in this. This is hard work to be alone in. It would be nice to have a friend in this work. It would be nice to have some knowledge of what John will do. Can he come with me to this work? We can understand. We can understand why Peter would think like that. He loves John. John is his friend. John is his fellow disciple. Jesus was wont to send them out two and two. He would wish a companion all the time. And what better friend than the disciple whom Jesus loved? Well, Jesus says, follow me. And you see, that may be true not just of ministers. Certainly is in the ministry, maybe a lonely, and is a lonely calling at times. And we need to pray for our ministers that they would be upheld and not succumb to loneliness and discouragement in the ministry. Ministers need to be prayed for and encouraged even in the work that the Lord has given them to do. But there is much loneliness in the ministry. But when Jesus said, follow me, surely he was also saying and did also say, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He was to follow Christ, but in so doing, the Savior would abide with him, that abiding presence of the Savior. And here it is then, here is this man, even Peter. Maybe he's just curious what to find out. What will become of John? The best of men, one writer puts it, find it hard to attend upon the Lord without distraction, hard to keep their minds so closely fixed as they should in following Christ, and needless and often unseasonable regard to our brethren often diverts us from communion with God. Well, this is the call to the disciple, follow me. And we have to beware of distractions, whether we're ministers or not ministers. All of God's people are disciples. They are called to follow Jesus. And there is this danger that we're taken up, perhaps not with other people, but with other things, distractions in general. And Jesus has to say to us, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, that brings us then to the third point of his caution, the caution that Peter received. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I will. Here again the Saviour asserts his divinity. Here again we have yet another proof text for the divinity of Christ, certainly when put with others. If I will. He does not say as we might, if God will. If the Lord will. If the great God of eternity, who is your maker, will, Peter, if God will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. But Jesus says, if I will. And that emphasizes not only the divinity of Christ, but the authority of Jesus, the authority of the Master, the authority of the one who says, follow thou me. Jesus says that. He says, follow thou me. And that is the point then that Peter needed to be, you see, brought back to. And almost at once, Jesus said, follow me. And he's distracted. Something has come in. It seems like a good thing. It seems like a lawful thing. Let me see if we can widen that out then. We may not be distracted at all times in the Christian life by sin, gross sin, iniquity. We may be distracted by things that may be lawful on other occasions, but used inordinately, we are not giving sufficient regard to this command, follow thou me. We're distracted. We are concerned for this one or that, for this thing or that, and we are distracted from the plain truth, follow me. Follow me. Don't be distracted like Peter. That was his weakness, and his duty called him. Sometimes in times of conflict and war, in countries there would be the notice boards put up asking people to help, either to join the army or the navy or the air force or to do some work for the good of society if they could not be fit for service in that way. And the saying would be, duty calls and every man must do his service. Duty calls, and every man must do his service. And that is how it is then. Duty calls, and every man, every woman for that matter, in the cause of Christ, everyone, every Christian, every disciple, and that's the point. Jesus is calling a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower of Jesus, a follower. Every disciple must do his or her service. Follow thou me. Continue following me, as the word is. Continue following me. Continue to follow me. Do not give up. Do not be distracted. Do not be turned aside into bypath meadows. But follow thou me. And in following Christ, we are following one who is in heaven, and who is drawing his people to be ultimately with him in heaven. Well, how are we to follow him? Well, ready, plainly and simply, we are to keep our eye on Christ. That's one thing. To keep the eye fixed on the Savior. To keep the eye fixed on the one who is going before us. This will give us strength. This will give us courage. This will give us to triumph over the world, when we behold him who is passed into the heavens, when we behold him not with the eyes of our body, but with the eyes of faith, then will we not get strength to do as he bids us to follow him? What is that to thee? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Don't be distracted by this one or that. Consider your own service. Consider your own calling. Consider the importance of following your own path and responsibility in following Christ, Jesus is saying. Well, we've noted then Peter's duty. We've observed Peter's concern. And we've noted Peter's caution. And we've applied this then to the danger of being distracted, friends, from following Jesus. That is what the devil will be certainly endeavoring to do with regard to those who have sat at the Lord's table, whether by renewal or for the first time. This is what he ever labors to do, to take our eyes off Christ, so that we are liable to stumble and to fall, perhaps even bring a reproach in his cause. But if we would be steady, and if we would make progress in the Christian life, then we cannot do better than heed the advice given, indeed the command given by the Savior. Follow me, keep on following me. You've begun to follow me, then keep on following me. And again, especially to Peter, very particularly, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Doesn't matter to you. Follow thou me. Follow thou me. And in drawing matters to our close, friends, what if it is the case that we have not yet begun to follow Jesus? What if it is true of us that we have not yet even so much as begun to look to Jesus? Surely this is the time. We read that Jesus on that great day of the feast, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood on one occasion and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Follow thou me, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We are to follow Christ. And in following him, then we are those who are following one who will lead us to heaven, who will lead us through this dangerous, sinful world, and who will lead us to that better country, even in heavenly. Well, Peter, we believe, did so. We believe that he did indeed follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he was indeed strengthened to the work of the ministry. We believe he was indeed given grace to live and grace to die. We believe that he is now in that better country, even in heavenly, and not least but because by grace he heard the voice of Christ and he obeyed the voice of Christ. Follow thou me. Amen. May God bless to us his word. We shall pray.